Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Hey, I got to tell you about an event that happened to me. I know 5 years ago, but maybe you can relate to it. I bought a 2012 used Frontier pickup, silver, four-door, leather interior. I thought I was a transcender, you know, I had this pickup. Boy, I just thought it was something, okay? And I started driving it for the first time, pulled in the first intersection, and right there on the other side, crossing over, was another Frontier pickup. And then I drove a block, and another Frontier pickup came by me. Going, I never noticed so many Frontier pickups before. Now, before this, I paid attention. I saw all the cars. I saw all the trucks. But I did not see the Frontier pickups. All of a sudden, I'm going to call it my Frontier moment, I became more aware of all those Frontier trucks out there. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Maybe? Okay. And then, you know, you see, and then you become aware, and then I reached another level of seeing. All of a sudden, the alarms went off, and I became more aware of that somebody else could put a dent in my Frontier truck. So I'd go to Walmart or Lowe's, and I'd park way back there. Because I didn't want anybody putting a dent in my Frontier truck. Now, I had an old Dodge that I didn't care about. Put another dent in it. Even it out, you know. But boy, this new one. Yeah. Another way of explaining it, there are different levels of awareness. Like a deer out in the field, in the forest, in the meadow. Sees the grass, sees everything around it, just, you know, grazing. But then it hears something. And it sees something move, and that deer raises its head while it's chewing the grass. Ears are going this way and that way. It's more aware. But then if that deer smells a wolf or a hunter, that nose begins to twitch, and now they're in high alert. Okay, if you kind of can understand the plain seeing, then really be attentive and high alert, you understand a part of the story that we're going to walk through once again, the story of the healing of the lame beggar. Let's take a closer look at that this morning. Open, if you would, once again, your Bibles to the third chapter of Acts, and we're going to walk through this again and see the highlights and learn from it. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, for a Jew, the 12-hour day, the first day was 6. They had a custom, the third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning, the sixth hour, 12 o'clock, and then ninth hour, 3 o'clock, the hour that Jesus died also, were times of prayer. So 3 times, you might say, a day, they would go to the temple. Now, over the years of Peter and John's life, they probably did this hundreds of times. Okay, so it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're going to the temple. They're seeing everybody. They're seeing the temple. They have what I'm going to say is just common visual and common awareness. But then something happens. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate. Notice, daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. Now, it's beautiful because it was the only gate that was covered with gold and silver. It was the most beautiful gate to ask for alms of those entering the temple. You might say he was there with a big sign, help. anything will help. And of course, he was looking for alms. He was looking for money. Now, I want you to notice something. He was 40 years old, we learn, in the book of Acts, in chapter 4. So this man probably had been going to the temple, or carried to the temple, beautiful gate, for probably 30 years of his life, if not longer. He was older than Peter, older than John, and older than Jesus himself. That is, the incarnate Jesus, okay, who took on flesh. So let me put it in a way you might better understand. Hundreds of times, Peter and John just walked by this man and didn't notice him. But today, they had what I'm going to call a frontier moment. Okay? All of a sudden, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes you aware. He's your counselor and his guide. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he makes you go to that next level of awareness. Now, I said Jesus, too, probably walked by this man. No, I didn't say that, but I'm saying to you, Jesus, too, probably walked by this guy many times, because Jesus would go to the temple, and this guy was there daily, and Jesus walked by him and did not heal him. Did you hear me? And Jesus did not heal him. In the fifth chapter of John, Jesus goes to a pool, and there's multitude, many people sick, blind, and invalids. And Jesus picks out just one who's 38 years old, and he heals that person. You see, Jesus did not come to heal everybody physically. Let me say that again. Jesus did not come, and his purpose for coming was to heal everybody physically in this life. That was not his purpose. He came to usher in the kingdom of God. He came to make available to everybody physical, spiritual, and mental healing through the plan of salvation. In the 35th chapter of Isaiah looks to the future and says, when the Messiah comes, the lame will leap like deer. And this Messiah will come with vengeance, not vengeance on you and I, vengeance on sin, death, and the darkness that the devil brings about. Yeah, Jesus did not come to heal everybody physically. Okay, if you're here this morning, if you're listening to me online and you've been praying to Jesus for healing and it hasn't come, I don't know why. He's all-knowing and all-powerful, not me. If he heals this one but not this person, it's his business. Why does one family struggle with the loss of a child and another doesn't? I don't know. He's all-knowing. But one thing we can count on is Jesus' grace is sufficient. Remember, Paul says three times Jesus removed this thorn. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. In my lifetime, I've had three pastors that I've known personally die at a very early age because of cancer. Pastor Shader, Pastor Bush, and many of you may know Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, who considered me his friend, and I considered him my friend. I don't know why he takes one pastor and another can live. It has nothing to do with their faith, because their faith is the ultimate healing. Because listen, everybody who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will be healed physically when they die, when they receive that new body in heaven. Jesus was wounded in the hands, the side, the head, the back, and he was healed when he rose from the dead. So, yes, we struggle. This man struggled. Jesus did not come to heal everybody physically in this life, but physically, mentally, and spiritually in heaven forevermore. His grace is sufficient. Now, here's John and here's Peter. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit makes them aware. And they see this guy, I'm going to say, for the first time. Laid him at the gate, beautiful gate 3, verse 3. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him. This is the frontier moment. All of us in the Holy Spirit says, pay attention. This person, I want you to see. And he saw him. As did John, and said, now all of a sudden we have that third level of awareness, the alarm level. All of a sudden, hey, something's going to happen here. Look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting gold or silver, and he received something so much more. There are people who are expecting to get something from God, and they receive so much more. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. Jesus is his personal name. Christ is his title, the anointed one. He fulfilled the 39 books of the Old Testament. He is the one proclaimed by the prophets. But of Nazareth puts him in a town, in a county, in a country, makes him real. You can go to Nazareth today. And he says, rise up and walk. Notice, those are words. You might say, in a prayer. But it doesn't happen right there and then. Notice what Peter does. And he took him by the right hand. How many of you ever heard of the right hand of fellowship? Anybody? There's power in the right hand of fellowship. There's power in touch. You see, if you were lame, if you were blind, if you were sick, you were unclean, you could not enter the temple, and nobody was to touch you. It'd make them unclean. You were an alien. You were an outcast. Now you know why probably Peter and John and so many people just kept walking by this guy all the time. They didn't see him. And now John, moved by the Holy Spirit, reaches his right hand out and grabs his right hand and picks him up. You know what he was doing? He was breaking all the social rules. He was breaking all the customs. And he was saying, you're equal to me. You're lame like I'm lame. You're a sinner like I'm a sinner. You're equal in the eyes of God as I am. And he reaches down and extends the right hand of fellowship and lifts him up. And then what happens? It is amazing. And immediately, then his feet and his ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. Not only walk, you got to see this. And entering the temple with them for the first time. Walking and leaping, fulfilling Isaiah 35. The lame man will leap like a deer. And praising God, you see he's worshiping God. You see his faith. And recognizing him as one who sat at the beautiful gate, all the people of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Wow, what a story. What are you going to glean from this story? Well, one thing I want you to glean from this story is God in his all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresence person decides who's going to be healed and who will not be. There are some people who are not healed. There are some people are healed because of their faith. There are some people are just healed by God. As Tina shared with us in the song, there was this woman for 12 years. Your faith has made you well. This man, 40 years, it wasn't his faith. It was he heard the word of God and the Holy Spirit worked, and they brought healing to his life. And then he knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. How does that all work? I can't explain it to you. But the healing comes from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I'm here to tell you also, in every hospital around here, there are more physical healings that take place than in churches. Physical healings, I said. Now, many of the hospitals in Broken Arrow, Tulsa area, and the surrounding areas were established, like St. John, St. Francis, by Christian believing people in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And healing takes place in hospitals, physical healing. But I'm also here to tell you that credit goes to Jesus. But just as many healings take place in churches, but not physical, spiritual and mental, along with the physical. Because when somebody comes to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, a healing takes place. And that healing takes place when the darkness in their life trembles. When somebody comes to know their Lord and Savior and their sins are forgiven, a healing takes place on the inside. When they know that earth is not their home, heaven is their home, a healing takes place. Jesus did not come to physically heal everybody. He came to spiritually heal everybody from the darkness of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Now, ultimately, those that receive him receive physical healing once they die. And we get that new body. But until then, sometimes for some people, it says, my grace is sufficient enough for you.
Amen.
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 Now, who gets the credit? God. But let me tell you about the healings that take place in churches like this, Ablaze, and all over the state of Oklahoma and our world, Christian churches where two or three gather in the name of Jesus Christ, kind of like John and Peter. You see, people who walk through those doors are lame. They're blind and they're sick. No different than you and you and you and you. At one time in your life, you were lame, sick, blind, and deaf. And through the power of God's word and sacrament, you have received a spiritual healing. And the Holy Spirit has made you aware. You see, when people come through those doors that are not part of our family, you might say, and they're lame, they're on high alert. They're like the deer who smells the hunter or the wolf. And when they walk through those doors, they are on high alert, and we must also be. We must be aware of who they are. And when you leave your group, your clique, hate to say that, you leave whatever you're doing and you welcome somebody, a healing takes place. You know why people come back to a church? Number one reason? It's not the preacher. Sorry. It's not the worship team. Sorry to disappoint you. Number one reason people come back to a church, they feel welcomed. The right hand of fellowship has been extended. They feel equal. They feel part of the family. They know those people are authentic. And a healing takes place. And we get to be a part of that. We get to be aware of that. We have been empowered to go to the highways, the byways, to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. You see, we may not offer gold and silver, but we can offer Jesus Christ of Nazareth by extending the right hand. And it goes even farther than that, deeper than that within the church. When a man and a woman say to a child that needs to be adopted, "You're my family now. I adopt you. I'll make you my own. As God made me his own, when those that received him, he gave us the right to become children of God." Now, 20 years ago and 1 month, this day, on the 9th, I stood before an altar with my now wife, Sabina. And we both said, "I do," to each other. But really, my wife said to me, who had 4 children, "I do become your mother. I do accept you as my own. We're equal as family." And a healing took place with my 4 children who are living with me. And I said to her daughter, Melissa, "You're my own. I do become your father." And a healing took place in her life. It's when a mother says to a daughter-in-law, "You're my own. I accept you as family." It's when a father says to a son-in-law, "You're my own. I accept you as my family." When a stepmother, a stepfather says to a child, "We're equal. We're a family. I love you as my own." In fact, somebody wrote a song about it. I don't know if many of you ever listened to country music, but I love country music. And I'm going to read. A writer by the name of Shane wrote this, and it's called "My Boy." "He ain't got my smile. That don't bother me a bit. He's got somebody else's eyes. I'm seeing myself. I'm holding on to every moment. God knows I missed a few. The day we met, I knew I had some catching up to do. He ain't my blood. He ain't got my name. But if he did, I'd feel the same. I wasn't there for his first steps, but I ain't missed a ball game yet. And that ain't ever going to change. I could never walk away. Yeah, he's my son. That's my choice. He ain't my blood, but he's my boy." A healing takes place when we welcome people and there is no racism. When we extend the right hand of fellowship to somebody, whether they're Jew or Greek, male or female, pure or unpure, sick or healthy, a member of a Blaze or not, a Christian or an atheist, a healing can take place and you can be a part of that power. One life makes all the difference. We know that to be Jesus, but I'm here to tell you, you're one life that can make all the difference. A healing can take place through the power of the work of the Holy Spirit when we become aware and we see through the power of the Holy Spirit that everybody's equal in the eyes of God. Everybody needs a healing. Yeah, some physical, some mental, and some spiritual. But we know the great physician. We know the one who can do the healing. We cannot always give gold and silver. But what we have, Jesus, we can give away. We can give him, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And a healing can take place according to his will, not our will. But we have to be aware. We have to be ready. And we just need to share. Amen.